Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Thursday morning on the Steakhouse, the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, and we get our 2 hours. The table is ready. Come on in, Dylon and Company, and enjoy the next 2 hours as it's a gray morning, but don't dampen your spirits and have some fun over the next 2 hours. What are we hearing? Any issues with weather in terms of getting that Braves game in? The proverbial getaway game, the proverbial I'm playing hooky. I got all my sales calls. You call your salesman and say, yeah, I'm out of the office. I got a bunch of calls in Dahlonega. I'm going to be in Jonesboro. Yeah, okay. You're going to be over at Truist, cracking open a cold beer at 11:30 and hope that you can change around the fate of the Atlanta Braves. Does not look like rain, really. 10% chance of rain later in the day, but we got an early start. So it'll be very mild and pleasant, not one of those days with 90 degrees and the sun beating on you. No, it's an easy day to be at the ballpark. Imagine tickets are probably pretty easy to get, not always the case with the Braves. So if you are planning your day around that, and we hope you enjoy it, and we hope the Braves do better than what's out in front of them. So how did the morning show go this morning? Dylan, how did we feel about the performance of our team?
I feel good about the performance. It was a strong performance. Bo came blazing back in, guns a-blazing after Metallica. He was at the Metallica concert.
Sounds like he went hard the night before, right?
He told us a lot of vodka crayons, steak.
Woke up at 9 a.m. He opened his eyes or something,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So he went. So the story he told us this morning, he went to bed at the time he usually wakes up for this show, which is at 3:15 in the morning, steak. And then he didn't wake up until the show was over at 8:50.
Right, but he was supposed to be off.
Yeah,
correct?
Yeah, he was off. Yeah. So yeah. It was, but he told us today there was a little bit of adjustment because, you know, he was trying to get back into the rhythm after his sleep got thrown off a little bit.
Yeah, I know, he's a man of routine. I enjoyed their conversation about his I think it was Allie that said, if you consume blue cheese as a head of ranch, that means you have a sophisticated palate.
Yeah, an elevated palate. And you're actually the perfect guy.
I was trying to call, but I don't have the background. I was calling on just your regular line here.
I want to ask you this, actually. Can you agree, or tell me I'm completely wrong because you're the man, ketchup, mustard, ranch, the three most basic sauces in all of food?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah, especially if you just eat yellow mustard, ketchup and ranch. I mean, those are kind of like
just basic.
If you're at a restaurant and they deliver those three, they're doing nothing interesting. There's no aioli sauce,
right?
There's no honey mustard.
Can't even get Chipotle ranch. What are we talking about here?
One of my kids love now the little sauce they put on everything. One of those Chipotle type sauces, spicy, or yeah, that's like French's yellow mustard is about as mundane as it gets, right?
Exactly. Like, can I at least get a Dijon or something like that? I mean, need a little something.
So my kids have never stopped giving me a hard time about this. We were on vacation down at 38. God knows what I was spending to have one of those houses down there at the beach. So we go run by the Publix down there because we're getting stocked up for the week. And I come home with Hunt's ketchup because it was like, instead of $6.50, it was like $5.10, right?
Okay.
And my kids are like, Daddy, what is this? I was like, it's Hunt's. What's the difference? It's ketchup. And they're just like, really? Like, with all everything that you're doing, this you're going to save that $1.43?
Right.
We're going to get this house on the ocean. We're planning this amazing week. Even they knew.
And now you're pinching pennies when it comes to condiments? What are we doing here?
Right. They're just like, seriously, this is where you decide to be economical? And it was embarrassing. I mean, it's like, what's the brand of mayonnaise? Is it
Hellman's?
No, Hellman's is fine.
Okay.
And Duke's is awesome.
Yeah, Duke's.
I'm thinking about what's the most basic if someone hands
Does
you.
Does Kraft make a mayonnaise?
Kraft, I think, might. And you're just like, this is not the area to cut corners, right? My wife's always saying we got to be better. We got to make smarter decisions about spending. You don't ever you know, want to hand over a hunt. That's like going to the market and get, you know what Hydrox is? It's the Oreo. It's a takeoff on Oreos.
Oh, okay. Like the Great Value Oreo kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the exact same cookie, but it's Hydrox, and it's probably $3 less, and it's just awful.
It tastes worse?
It's the imitation. The imitation. Anyways, I don't know how we ended up on that, Ange. I think we were talking about great. Listen, I'm a great condiment guy, so maybe that's where it happened. We'll get to 9 and 9 in a second. If you heard the show yesterday, you could probably anticipate that Sandy literally within our program, and G, who's going to be with me today, can attest to it. She went from, oh, okay, voice ain't great, to, I think we're going to have to say, Sandy, I don't think you need to be on the air anymore. And she was cool about it. But it's like it literally happened as we were sitting here. The virus. She got the virus. It's a virus. And she's not with us because she can't barely talk. So hopefully she'll rest up and be back with us next week. I'm not here Monday, so we'll find out who's here with Drew Butler. I'm going to Sea Island for the first time ever on a legitimate golf trip. I told you my goal is to be more respectable out on the links, be able to get around 18 and look decent.
What's respectable for Steak Shapiro on a golf course, though?
Well, first of
what's a number? Give me a number.
Oh, I mean, just, you know, within 100.
So maybe, break 100.
If I can par a few holes, okay, bogey a few holes, get up and down and be – listen, the best advice I ever got was if you're bad, play fast. If you're worse, play faster.
That's 100% best advice.
That's the only thing people care about. Don't slow the game down. Be fun. Make it engaging. Have a few shots. Listen, if you're playing teams, I want my drive to be used a few times. I can get off the tee a little bit. But just move, right?
My best friend, bless his heart, he's the kind of guy who is hyper-competitive and he wants to hit a perfect shot. He just pulls another ball out of his pocket and puts it right back down. And I'm like, dude. And then he goes back and goes and gets his other ball. And then I'm like, come on, man.
But how long are they standing? Like, if you're not good, why are you standing over that shot? Like, it's not going to matter. You can do every, you know, iteration of getting ready, and it's still going to, like, you know, 50% chance you're shanking that thing right in the woods or somewhere else. Like, dude, just play, just move, right? Let the good golfers have fun, and you just move and be entertaining.
Be fun.
So that's my goal. We'll be my first time ever in Sea Island. I'm doing that coming up over the weekend as well. I'm not the only one that needs a vacation. Braves fans probably need one from these home games of late. Well, Chris Sale does his part in the Sale, Strider, Schellenbach mindset that I have, which is, why would we not be confident? Those three guys can do anything, but obviously he didn't get that from Spencer Strider the other night. So you got Schellenbach's ridiculous performance against the Red Sox over the weekend, and then Strider doesn't get it done, and Chris Sale does, but you don't score at all. You lose 2-1 at home. A lot of frustration. G was in the clubhouse two nights ago. Imagine more of the same. They lose to a Diamondbacks team that was absolutely struggling coming in. Chris Sale, 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts. The bats are absolutely no factor. They go 2 guys on, nobody out in the 8th. They leave the bases loaded in the 9th. A bad at bat for Michael Harris that I've been talking about. Maybe it was 2nd and no, night with bases loaded in the 9th. So the Braves now approaching their all-time worst. What are they at now? At 6 games under 500?
10.5 games back of first place in the National League East. They're 1.5 games back of the Washington Nationals. It is the dire straits for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, Grant Holmes on the mound today at the noon start. Brandon Pafat? Is that? What is it?
I think that's close enough.
All right.
Close enough.
That's what's going on. Meanwhile, the NBA Finals begin tonight. Oklahoma City, an enormous favorite. I mean, an enormous favorite to bring a championship to Oklahoma City. They're minus 425 in the series. They're a 9.5-point favorite against Rick Carlisle and the Pacers, who everybody continues to undersell. Maybe they have finally run into a combatant that they just can't win with depth, because Oklahoma City has similar depth, right? And yeah. Oklahoma City, the best defensive team around. They got 4 guys on the all-defensive team in the NBA. It is going to be a major challenge, certainly for Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton.
I mean, it all depends on what Tyrese Halliburton can do with ball pressure. That's what the Thunder do better than anybody in the NBA. That ball pressure that they're going to get up at the top of the key, it's going to be fascinating to see how the Pacers deal with it.
Meanwhile, the NHL Finals, I told you, this is Edmonton's year, and they win a big overtime game. That was huge. I believe they were at home. It's a 4-3 win in overtime. Nothing better than overtime in the playoffs, especially in the Stanley Cup Finals. Game two is Friday night. If you're wondering where to watch the NHL Finals, it is on TNT. Meanwhile, Texas over Texas Tech in the Women's College World Series. So the Longhorns out of the SEC, one win away from another SEC national title. And I think that's about does it. I think you know what you need to know. I think, folks, when we come back, I don't know that Atlanta fans know how good we've had it. I don't know that we have a full appreciation. Maybe we will as we watch the Atlanta Braves, one of the worst records in the majors, and we sit here and go, that is not supposed to happen. We have gotten spoiled, Braves fans. And there's another team in town that is spoiling us. So maybe giving everybody some perspective. I also heard some things about Brian Snicker in the afternoon. I think Mike Bell was saying time to get rid of Brian Snicker. I was like, I don't think so, Kemosabe. I don't think so. But he's not the only guy talking in those directions, especially after another listless night at Truist. It has not been fun for the home team at all. We'll talk about that. Just how good a run it's been for two teams in the last decade. And is the Braves' fun and shenanigans coming to an end in 2025? My name is Steak. It's the Steakhouse. Chipper Jones at 10 o'clock. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
1-2. He got him. Frustration, frustration, frustration. Arizona hangs on. They win it 2-1. They take the first two in this series, and they drop Atlanta to six games below 500.
Remember when we left the West Coast? We were like, damn, we owe in seven. But we'll be fine. We're the Braves. We're Brian Snicker. We're Double A. We're one of the class franchises in all of sports. We will find our way. And now we are just one game better than that. As it's not a season low, but it's getting there after a loss last night. It's just, there's just no punch. There's just a chromosome in this lineup that I think has kind of been since the Monster 23 season. Listen, nobody's ever going to have a year like that. So, you can't point to that. That's an outlier. But Michael Harris, man, I don't know. Like, I watch baseball a pretty specific way for the last 50 years. There are guys I feel great about when they're at the plate, and there are guys I just, like, this is, I don't know how he's going to work this pitcher. I don't know how he's going to get ahead in the count. I don't know that how tough an at-bat this. That was not a tough at-bat, that final at-bat for Michael Harris last night.
Well, I don't know how many strikes he's actually swinging at this point. You can just throw him a sweeping pitch somewhere outside of the zone. He's swinging at things that are 3 inches off the plate.
Yeah.
You know, he has no confidence at the plate, and he does not look like he knows what he's doing.
He's such a spectacular defensive player, but he's just not a guy. Chipper Jones is on later. I grew up with one of the all-timers. Two guys that knew how to work a pitcher, work a count, that the only guys you were like, oh, yeah, he's going to get a hit. Wade Boggs and Tony Gwynn played in the same era. Now, that was not an era where home runs are valued like they are now. Those guys are all about getting ahead in the count, working a pitcher, going the other way with it. Tony Gwynn, obviously, inside-out swing. Same with Wade Boggs using that green monster. Like, just their guy. Chipper Jones pretty close to it. I mean, you rooted for him. He's a guy that you just feel like if he's up with second and third and eighth, like, dude, this is the guy. If anybody is going to be locked in and dialed in and make it hard for a pitcher, it's going to be Chipper Jones and some of the guys I just mentioned. I don't feel like that about us. I don't feel that way about Olsen or Riley, who are better hitters than Michael Harris. I just, I guess Acuna is the most likely guy right now.
I mean, the biggest problem with what the Braves are right now is the fact that all of these guys who are having problems, specifically guys like Michael Harris and maybe an Ozzie Albies. I mean, Ozzie's now he's been better recently. He's turned it around, but still, Michael Harris specifically, it's looking like an albatross of a contract. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of what B.J. Upton was this time maybe a decade ago.
Well, that's
not good.
That's the last guy you want to be compared
not
to.
Not good.
I know. I mean, B.J. Upton was a disaster, but. Listen, Michael Harris, a great teammate. He's a great defensively. He helped you, you know, in multiple seasons when he gets hot and when he's, you know, hitting nine and Acuna's hitting one and that problem of the double leadoff and what that does. But listen, we are spoiled as Braves fans. And the other fan base that is spoiled are Georgia fans. So I've been doing this job for three decades. And over the last 10 years, there's two organizations that when you roll the balls out, you go, yeah, we could win a championship. Absolutely. We could win a World Series. We could win a national championship. It wasn't one and done, outlier. There was not one Michigan fan last year that thought they had a chance to do anything in terms of winning a national title, right? And I'm not telling you they don't get back there in terms of, you know, how they put their program together, but you knew. That's not the case with Georgia. Since Kirby Smart has taken over, he had the 8-5 season. That was the outlier. That was him getting settled in. Since that season, every single year that you root for Georgia football, you are thinking about a national title. His second year, you lose the national title game, but you win that Rose Bowl game, one of the great Georgia games in history. So you're in contention there. In 18, you're 11-3. In 19, you're 12-2. In the COVID year, you're 8-2. Then in 21, you're 14-1, win the title. In 22, you're 15-0, you win the title. In 23, you're 13-1. Of course, you get beat by Bama, I believe it was. And then last year, you're 11-3, but you're right there at the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame. Every year, you are in the hunt. As a fan, you say, I know with Kirby Smart. How do I know? Because his second year, he absolutely should have won the national title. That was the 2nd and 17. I believe it was, and then 4 years later, he wins back-to-back titles, and in between there was 12-2, 11-3 seasons. Like, that's just what Georgia does. We put NFL players, we put players in the National Football League. We win SEC titles. He's won three. He's won two national titles. He's in the hunt. He's won three SECs, but been to how many SEC title games? It's been a decade that you just say, we are in position to win a national championship. We are one of those programs, and that's part of what I always say. You don't have to win titles, but you have to be in the mix that at least we feel like we're going to be one of six, one of eight, one of four that has a chance. And under Brian Snicker, that's exactly what they've been. 90-72 in his second year, 97-65, 32 games over 500 in his third year. Take the COVID year out, they're 10 games over 500. The next year, you're 88-73. The worst year for Brian Snicker, 2021. The worst year, except they won the World Series. Except they won the World Series at 88-73. The next season, you go 101-61. You're an organization that's 40 games over 500, and then you follow that up in 2023, 104-58, you're 46 games over 500. Last year, you're 16 games over 500. Of course, the last 3 years, you lose in the first round of the playoffs when you're playing. But the point is, you get to October and you see, why not us? If we get hot, we've seen it before. You had 89 wins and won a World Series. And you're spoiled because, by the way, this is not a sports town that was built with titles hanging from the rafters. So I understand that Braves fans are apoplectic right now, but man, Brian Snicker's been here for 9 years now. Take his first year out when they were 72-90. That was 2016, and that's a Freddy Gonzalez. He replaces him in 16. Take 16 out. We're in 2025. Every single year, 90 wins, 97, 88, 101, 104, 89. What's Georgia doing? 13 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, 14 wins, 15 wins, 13 wins. That's what you want. When the Falcons have had seven consecutive losing seasons, forget about getting in the tournament. You're not even over 500. the Atlanta Hawks are playing this in this purgatory nightmare of play-in-ness. And all I'm saying is, you know, appreciate what you have. So this is going south a little bit. And I'm not telling you that there's no conversations about Brian Snicker making a change, but I would be shocked, right, if there's any serious conversations with Terry McGuirk and Alex Anthopoulos about replacing Snicker. I think Mike Bell wasn't being bombastic and saying it's time to make a change. He said, you had a great run. Managers are hired to be fired. It's time to change things up. Snit's done a great job. Everybody loves him, but we got to make a move. I don't necessarily agree with it. And I think a track record like it is, you have earned the right to let them figure it. You've actually earned the right to have a bad year. Like if you end the year at 81-81, you know, that's a bad year. In Pittsburgh, they'd have a parade down Mulberry Street. Although I don't know if there's a Mulberry Street in Pittsburgh. But point being, that's just the standard, right? That is the standard. And in this city that has been mocked and, you know, we're transplant city and we're you know, Loserville, that article in Sports Illustrated, how many years ago, all that nonsense. You have two organizations that basically are the class of college football with a premier coach and the absolute class of Major League Baseball. Now, again, the Dodgers have outspent the market and they've got there. You certainly have been way better than the Yankees for years. I know they were in the World Series last year, but the Atlanta Braves are the class organization in baseball. So it is hard to watch this. It is hard to go down there and see the listlessness. That eighth inning last night, that was hard to watch for sure. Two guys on. Yeah, go ahead.
But Baldwin is down on strikes. And he swung out of his shoes hoping to connect with that slider, but he could not. 0-2 to Harris, and he struck him out. Oh, here we go. Edge of your seat time. Bases juice, two down, payoff pitch. That ball was dropped, so it's a foul ball.
No, said he kicked it.
Oh, he kicked it. And the inning is over. The Braves got him loaded and unable
poor,
to do anything.
Poor Sandra. Poor Sandra. You notice her mood, G, when they're not playing well, when she comes in here, how spicy she is? I mean, it's like watching the eighth and ninth inning last night. But, I mean, do we acknowledge that we were a little spoiled? And I never thought we could say that about Atlanta. It's why that whole thing about New England fans, it's like, just shut your pie hole if you're a Patriots fan, if you're a Red Sox fan. You got 10 titles in the last 18 years. 10 titles, just those two organizations, right?
Yeah.
In the last 20 years.
I look at those kids who were at those parades who were my age.
Yeah.
If you're my age and you're from the region of New England, I don't want to hear a single word from you for the rest of you. If you don't win another title for the rest of your life,
right,
you're still far more successful than your franchises are than any other
right,
person.
Right, you're way ahead of the
anybody else.
Right. So, you know, I'm not, and we're not that. We've got one World Series in this stretch, two overall for the Braves, and certainly Georgia has got two back-to-back national titles and undefeated regular seasons. So that's a pretty close stretch over the last 10 years. That's four titles. And I don't think there's any, you know, the equivalent of Georgia being what the Braves are is like looking at the SEC and saying, wow, we're 4-4 right now, right? Like I don't have the whole schedule in front of me, but there's a loss to South Carolina, and maybe there's a loss to the Gators, right? And then there's the loss to Tech. Like, that's what would have to happen to be equivalent to what the Braves are doing right now.
Stake. The Dogs lost two regular season games, three overall, and won an SEC title, and people are talking about Georgia being down.
Right. I know.
But that's a bad season. They lost in the first round of the playoff.
Right. And they beat Texas twice.
Twice.
All right. And they lost their quarterback at the end of the first half and still beat Texas. Again, they went to Austin. So, like, listen, standard, right? Standard. So just take a deep breath and think about that, especially if you're rooting for the Braves in the 70s or the 80s with some god-awful teams. And, you know, it's not like, yeah, you should have high expectations, but it's been a hell of a 10-year run. I don't know that it's over. I'll tell you this, Spencer Strider needs to figure things out, and you have a shot to reel off 9 out of 11. Chipper Jones, 10 o'clock, we'll talk some college, tailgate, among others, when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
404-726-0929. You heard me talking before the break. If you want to chat too, I mean, listen, I'm not telling you should put up with keeping your mouth shut and not being frustrated by what's happening with the Braves, but trying to give us some perspective, kiddos. We have had a great run here. And when you go into October, I mean, most important, when you go into, you know, the most fun time of the year, right, which is college football season. And you know the team that you root for has an absolutely excellent chance. And please, for the love of God, don't start telling me that Georgia's not an Atlanta team, okay? If you listen to sports talk radio in Michigan, in Detroit, they're probably talking about the Wolverines, okay? And, you know, if you are talking about, you know, sports talk in Cleveland, they're probably talking about Ohio State. And Athens is the home team. How do I know that? Because there's thousands and thousands of people listening to this show that grew up in Atlanta, that went to Roswell High, went to Sprayberry, or, you know, from Dahlonega or Fayetteville. And, you know, you watched Georgia the same way you watched the Falcons. There is no difference. It is your team. Now, again, I don't know if there's more Georgia fans in town than Falcon fans. I know that, you know, there's a lot of fans of other college teams. So there's Gator fans and Bama fans and Auburn fans and all those others. And there's only one NFL team if you're a local that you should be rooting for. But we're also a town of transplants. So there's Packer fans and Patriot fans and Steeler fans and everything else. But Georgia is a home team. So when I get there on social and be like, how can you call a team that's an hour and 15 minutes away? That's not a home team. No, actually, that's what we talk about. That's what people care about. I've been in enough focus groups, having owned radio stations in this town, and when you try to figure out format, more of this, less of that, I think it's pretty easy. Less hockey, more dogs. Less hockey, more Georgia, right? And I didn't say Falcons, Hawks. I said Georgia, because that's a home team. So it has been a great run. 10 years of Kirby and Brian Snicker. 10 years. That both those guys are absolutely in the mix. Why is Mike Smith or Dan Quinn the greatest coaches in Falcons history? It's really not complicated. It's not Lehman Bennett. It's not Jim Mora, right? It's not Jerry Glanville. It's the guys that when you were rooting for the Falcons, you felt like either any one of these years, we could be playing for a Super Bowl. Or we certainly were planning to go to the NFC title game. And Mike Smith was having winning season after winning season and getting to the playoffs and having moments. And then Dan Quinn did the exact same thing, and they did it after they lost the Super Bowl and went back again when they had a chance to go to the NFC. So that's what you're wanting as a fan. Get in the tournament. Because if you get in the tournament, you get a chance. And, the Braves are nowhere near that tournament right now. Just go win today. Let's start with that. Just go win today.
And two. Brian Snicker's credit, and Drake Baldwin to some extent as well, he talked about this as well, but it's the day-by-day mentality. They have to have that day-by-day mentality. I don't know if it's working for them right now. The clubhouse is very down. Like I said, it is very down. They need a spark. I don't know what it's going to be.
I don't know
where that comes.
You know, the spark was Ronald Acuna's first pitch to hit a home run and go back in the lineup.
And
we lost
happened?
That game, by
Do you know
way.
What happened the rest of the game?
Right.
Every single person struck out in the next. I was like, maybe struck out, but they got out after that Ronald Acuna home run.
Well, you
and
lost.
They
that
didn't
game.
Score a single run for the rest of the game.
Right. So the spark is your former MVP, gregarious and energetic and dynamic personality, exactly what the doctor ordered. Oh yeah, and then there's the dominant right-handed pitcher that has Cy Young stuff. He's coming back. So those are your sparks. Spark one, spark two. You got your two sparks. You know what? You're considerably worse since they're both back. considerably worse. You're now, what, 6 games under 500 is where you're sitting.
Yeah, 6 games under 500. And look, I'm not going to compare this team to the 2021 team that won a World Series. I'm not going to do that. But the spark that team got in July when Jock Peterson was added, where we are the MFers, if you will, where he comes in and he basically just talks to this team and says, why are you guys so down on yourselves? You're so damn good. Where is that? Bring some edge. There is no edge in that clubhouse.
I just think we'll ask Chipper, but it's just such a, you know, I'm not telling you that you're not saying what a lot of people, but in baseball, I don't know I know what it means in football, right? You send a guy, you know, to rush on the outside and separate the quarterback from the football and get everybody up on their feet, or your defense has a 7-sack game, or you block. You know, in baseball, okay, what is it? What's the edge going to do, right? What's a pep talk in baseball even mean?
Yeah, you know, Scottie Scheffler was talking about this with respect to golf, and he was saying, you know, in other sports, in basketball, you can kind of will the ball into the hoop. You can drive the lane, and you can just kind of, you know, accomplish what you're trying to do through pure will. And it's not so simple, I think, in sports like golf, sports like baseball, where there's, you know,
I totally
it's just a technical
profession. And by the way, you're just talking about hoops. You can't become a better shooter because you're motivated, necessarily. But you can definitely play better defense, rebound better, and be more active. Diving on a ball out there is about energy, right? Loose balls is about the 50-50 balls. Baseball doesn't have like a 50-50 ball thing that we are outworking them. Yeah, you're outworking them, but we can't hit because, you know, we're mired in this slump. Like, I don't know what motivation in baseball. In football, you run harder, you play harder, you hit harder, whatever, right? Baseball is a different deal. Scottie Scheffler, if you're like, what is all the crowd? It must have an effect, right? What's the tangent? Are you're a big golfer, relatively speaking?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so if you're playing in the Ryder Cup and you're the home team, what is that actually doing? Are you maybe driving it farther? Are you more dialed in? Because there is a home course advantage, right?
I think, yeah, exactly. There's a home course advantage. For me, in my opinion, as regards to the Ryder Cup, I think that it's more down to the style of courses that the players are familiar with playing. I think it's one of the reasons why Americans struggle, particularly in Europe, is because European players, they may not have played a lot of links courses throughout the year as professionals, but they typically grow up, you know, kind of get accustomed to that style of golf, which really does take a different style
of play. But does the home crowd have an impact of why you putt better, drive longer, chip better?
Absolutely not. I don't
must have some effect. I mean, maybe you're just playing more familiar courses. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm super pumped up. I'm sitting over a 30-foot putt. The place is going to go crazy. Are you going to putt better knowing that that crowd is against you or for you? I don't know. It's more of a science than anything else, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
So other sports, balls on the ground, who's going to go get it? Guys rushing the passer. You know, there's a reason you go, you know, put your hands up on 3rd and 7 because that can actually be an advantage. I'm super tired. It's 92 degrees. You know, it's the 4th quarter. Crowd can get you over the hump. A crowd's not getting you over the hump on a 30-foot putt to try to make eagle, right? I mean, that shouldn't be a factor. It just depends on the sport to a degree. If you have any thoughts on it, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Let's do a little tailgate. Here's Kirby the other day on a podcast. We referenced it. We didn't hear it. Here it is. What is NIL and facilities? What's that about?
What you're going to see is infrastructure just go downhill. So, for instance, everybody's got this pot to spend, right? Well, some schools are going to be able to spend in the pot and not hurt their infrastructure, their nutrition staff, the food the players eat, the strength staff, the academic staff. Other schools are going to say, you know what? We're going to spend on players, and we're not going to spend on the infrastructure.
We did run that, but what do we know? What do we know? We're just trying to get to Chipper Jones here. I mean, let's be honest. No. Kirby Smart, the reason you want to hear from him is back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, Georgia has put themselves in an elite position to continue to play for national titles. And, you know, the infrastructure is a huge part of it. The coaching staff is a huge part of it. The nutrition, the facilities, now the added, you know, practice fields and conditions, all that stuff. What do we want to talk about? College World Series against Texas Tech yesterday in the women's?
Yeah, 2-1 in the softball women's College World Series, if you will. But Jay Batt's the big news here in the city. He leaves for Michigan State. And look, it's I know Georgia Tech fans are talking about it as a lateral move. Not exactly. This is you go from the ACC, a tumultuous conference, to the Big Ten Conference, who is set up for success than anybody in college athletics, just based off of the media deals that they have. You have a much more lucrative deal, and you have some more security and a bigger budget. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, listen, I love Jay Batt. I love the fundraising. My favorite thing in the world ever. And I've been in this town for 30 years, was going to Tech basketball games when Bobby Kremins had it going, when Paul Hewitt had it going at the Thriller Dome. I desperately want to, you know, find a way back to that. That has not happened in this last group of Brian Gregory and Josh Pastner and now Damon Stoddard. But, like, comparing Tech basketball to Michigan State basketball is like comparing Triple A Gwinnett to the Braves and saying, oh, they're similar. They're both playing baseball. One is a perennial national power. Tom Izzo is one of the great college coaches in history. We have been a parade of not even mediocrity in the ACC over the last 20 years. So as for football, bigger stadium, way more money, obviously more tradition for Michigan State. I know Tech's got three national titles, a couple of them were a long time ago. It's a major loss. Could there have been a way to keep them? Absolutely. But there's nobody thinking clearly saying that the Michigan State program and Tech program are lateral. Because no. Michigan State's got way more money, and they also paid him way more money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, and my sources tell me that it was just a money decision, and it just comes down to the fact that Georgia Tech was able to get up to about $1.5 million, but it was still about $200,000 or
Jay Batt's not moving his family to East Lansing for the next 5 years because of $200,000, my opinion.
No, but that's what he was going to get up to here.
Okay, that's fine.
That and everything else.
Listen, the Big Ten, he has $50 million more in the athletic budget at Michigan State.
You also talk about specifically about the basketball program. Let's not forget that Michigan State also has Big Ten championships in football within the last 10 years.
Yeah, of course.
They played in the college football playoff when it was four teams. You know, I mean, this is Mel Tucker got this team to the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl down the road.
You cannot compare Michigan State football the last 25 years to Georgia Tech. You can't.
Yeah.
They also have $50 million more. They got a much bigger contract.
It is what it is.
It would have been awesome if you had found a way to say, I love Atlanta. My family's happy in Atlanta. I believe Tech. I'm betting on the come here. We're in the middle of a major fundraise. But I don't know what Brent Key and Damon Stoddard are. If you don't have those two sports, Danny Hall's gone. Jay Batt's gone. Baseball hasn't won a regional in like 20 years.
It's been a long time. And for as good as I feel about Georgia Tech football this year, I'm very bullish on what they could do. Brent Key still has never won more than seven games.
Right.
So we need to be very realistic about
that. No,
this
is the year.
This is the year. Yeah, has to be the year.
Yeah,
has to be the year.
But listen, we said that about the Falcons and plenty of other programs. And as we've been talking about the theme today, the only programs that you can trust. You cannot trust Tech football. You cannot trust Tech basketball. You cannot trust the Hawks or the Falcons. You can trust the Atlanta Braves, and you can trust Georgia football. Why? Because for 10 years, they've proven that. And if Tech had proven that, then maybe Jay Batt wouldn't be leaving. And maybe, you know, they'd be getting 60,000 or not shrinking the stadium at Tech. Right? All right, you want to take some calls here? Is that what's going on? Who do we got there? Hey, Brandon, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for calling, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. So, well, the Braves are too irritating for me to wrap my head around and talk about, but I did want to touch on your comment about the Ryder Cup and whether you could potentially have a home field advantage in golf. And I personally think that you could, and here's my reasoning. Not that I'm any good and can really speak on it, but the science of the shot doesn't change, like you said, but there's that natural human element, right? If you got 10,000 people that you know are rooting against you to miss a certain shot, that in itself changes your adrenaline and could change the science of the shot just based on how you're shooting. I know for me personally, I shoot everything, it goes right. Everything I shoot goes right. The best round I ever played is the only round my wife ever went and watched. So, you know, sometimes motivation helps.
I appreciate it. I would say being dialed in and motivated makes you concentrate better. I also believe the pressure. Listen, What do you call choking? What is it when you are when your sports action is affected by the pressure you're feeling in a negative way? So I would imagine being on the road in the Ryder Cup, Joe, there are times where there is real pressure that that crowd absolutely is rooting against you, is absolutely yapping, right? And some guys probably can't handle it. I don't know that it makes you better, you know, you chip better at home. Yeah. Like, let's assume the courses are equal.
Sure, sure. You know, it's funny because since we initially started talking about this, I was thinking about, you know, when I play golf, you know, with friends and stuff, and when everybody's playing well, it seems like good play kind of contributes to more good play, and I think it's probably because there is that kind of a good vibe. You don't feel pressure and the frustration that kind of mounts on you.
Is that a home feel? Like, why is the Ryder Cup, why is home course advantage a real thing? So, it seems to be.
And with regards to the Braves, to kind of bring this back, because I kind of pivoted the topic there, but I also was thinking about what we were talking about yesterday, Stake, with regards to Spencer Strider, and I was thinking about Austin Riley because he's struggled in some of these big moments this year and throughout his career, and I remember seeing him when I was on the Braves beat in the Braves clubhouse. I forget what point of the season it was, but he was going through a rough stretch, and I remember seeing him just looking like visibly frustrated after a game, carrying a bunch of bats out of the locker room with him and stuff. Like, he was determined to get on, you know, to get things right. But I almost remember thinking, is he over pushing himself to try to get right?
We're gonna ask Chipper what is mindset. You know, we'll play the Strider comeback. Austin Riley's saying I'm terrible in your brain, and maybe when he's in one of those stretches where you're talking about the frustration. That's not going to be good for you, I don't think. We'll talk to Chipper. He also had real strong comments about the College World Series stuff he saw and took some heat. And he's just a great guest. He's coming up on Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Listen, we pulled a fast one on Chipper. I mean, there's no question the guy was not going to come on if it was just Steak. Sandra, of course, the queen of Atlanta Sports Radio. She's on the 10-day IL as of yesterday, Chipper. She had the voice situation, and I was like, we could tell Chipper Sandy's not going to be on, but then we may lose him, so let's just – Sandra's banged up, right? So, geez. That's how it goes sometimes. I know you don't want to come on here to talk about cheeseburgers with Steak Shapiro, but we crossed our fingers that you'd still talk to us. So,
what happened?
She's got lost her voice. That's all.
Okay.
So her husband and a lot of people probably relieved, but she did lose her voice. So, hey, what was it that irritated you the most as you were watching the regionals over the weekend in college baseball?
Oh man,
one transgression that bothers you more than the others per se? I know you wrote the tweet about it. Sorry to cut you off.
No, not really. I think all of it in a whole. It's like I was, you know, you could watch one game and find something to irritate you, and then switch it over to another game, and you know, a bunch of the same stuff is happening. It's just you know, a lot of stuff that is really unnecessary, you know, inside the lines. I mean, just play the game. I don't have a problem with kids having fun and, you know, enjoying the game, enjoying the experience. That's what you should be doing. But when it crosses the line, you know, I think something needs to be said. And you saw two coaches, I believe yesterday, had to make, you know, public apologies or issue apologies. I let you know something's not right.
Yeah, I mean, the folks, I read all the responses, and you do a great job of, you know, not being affected by that. More people agree to you than not. But others would say, Chipper, stop being, you know, the old traditional baseball guy. Baseball needs to breathe in some new fans, more fun, and a lot of these antics are what make college baseball different. And you're just being a guy, sounds like, in his 40s, 50s, or 60s that wants traditional baseball. So you don't count.
And that's fine. Yep. That's fine. I'm allowed my opinion just like they're allowed their opinion. If you don't like my opinion, move on or block me. I mean, that's perfectly okay. And I said that many times last night. You know, if you don't like my opinions, that's okay, you can comment on them and block me if you don't want to listen to my opinions anymore. But like you said, 80 to 90% of the people in my comments last night completely agreed with what I had to say.
Yeah. Like, to me, there's something – it's like, why do you shake hands with your opponent after a series or a game? You know, the NHL is one of the great traditions in all of sports. And why right. do you not unbutton your one is respecting your opponent's sportsmanship, which I still believe that's a pretty basic thing. You're not respecting your opponent when you are going out of your way to degrade them. And when you wear your shirt down to your belly button, you know, there's a reason it's called a uniform. There's a reason you look better. I mean, like, these are just basic things. You can be 80 years old or 21-year-old coach and still feel like those are important things in any sport.
Yeah, I think probably people disagree with me most about the uniform thing. I think that's part of being disciplined is wearing the uniform the right way. And, you know, that's probably the least of my concerns. I mean, kids are going to be kids. I understand that. They're going to want to wear the uniform the way they want. But I know that if a coach says, "Fellas, we're gonna wear the uniform the correct way. We're not gonna wear our hats backwards on the field. We're gonna wear them frontwards. We're not gonna cover up the logo with our sunglasses because we represent the University of whatever." Those are things that some coaches do, and some don't, and. You know, it's just a personal preference of mine.
What's the most angry you can remember in the bigs of saying, like, that was way crossing the line in terms of disrespect or guys that got way too mouthy out there? Are there a couple instances or guys that jump out at you?
Oh, boy.
You're sitting in a dugout and you almost have to be restrained from wanting to go out there because so-and-so's acting out or, you know. And that's separate from throwing at a guy or whatever. But just like, you know, and by the way, when you were playing, it was not near what you see today. I mean, there's much less of it that era.
Right. Right. Because the pitchers had to hit, you know. And I think that curtailed a lot of stuff. There were instances. But, you know, mostly back in the day, it was just, you know, Darren Dreifert hitting Andres Galarraga a few times in a row or you know, Carlos Zambrano because, you know, we were lighting him up like a Christmas tree. He started hitting guys. Things like that will incur the wrath of the other team. As far as chirping, very little of that went, because pitchers had to grab a bat and hit back in the day, and they normally kept their mouth shut.
Yeah, not taking two steps towards the dugout to point at you in the third inning when you know he's going to be coming up in the top of the fifth or whatever it is.
Correct.
Chipper Jones is with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is, when you watch the Braves for, I don't know, close to 60 games, I want you to be more than basic. Obviously, we're not hitting, right? But is there something about this lineup that you're worried the most about of all the guys that are laboring a little bit?
I'm worried about Michael Harris. I'm seeing a lack of confidence. I'm seeing I'm not seeing competitive at bats. That's kind of the biggest thing for me. The guys in the middle, just the inability to string good at bats together in order to keep the line moving. A lot of three ups and three downs, just, you know, inconsistency. That's the biggest thing. This team is pitching well enough from a starting pitching standpoint to be able to win games. But we're just not able to put those three facets. And when I say the three facets, hitting, starting pitching, and relief pitching, you know, this team has played pretty good defense during the course of the season thus far. But the other three facets, have been spotty.
All right, I want to play a Strider cut for you because, listen, I've covered a lot of post games, you know, covered you for years, obviously. It's great when guys take accountability. It's great when guys face the media, don't blame anybody. But he's starting to sound like, and there are those motivational speakers and whatnot, they'll say the more negative talk in your head, the worse you're going to perform. Here he is after the game. This is three or four games of telling himself, in my eyes, maybe you're not good enough.
Had spurts of good command. Despite, you know, giving up so many hits, I thought I was pretty efficient for the first half. But, you know, I've said it before, you know, stuff. Command without stuff is batting practice. So that's about what I offered up today.
And if you hear more of it, he's just talked about one start. He said, I don't deserve to be up here. Bryce Elder got sent down because of me. It's just a lot of negative talk about himself. As a guy that was one of the great hitters ever, and you were out 7 out of 10 times, or probably, you know, 6.75 out of 10 times, right? What about being tough on yourself, and what about mindset as a player?
Well, he's down on confidence right now, and he is very hard on himself. And I like the to a certain extent the self-deprecation. But here's the thing, you know, and this is nothing new. Coming off of the Tommy John surgery, I've seen so many instances where said person struggles with feel. They haven't gone out there, you know, in a year and a half. Obviously, he doesn't have 100 miles in his back pocket yet. I believe that will come. But the biggest thing is you see him struggling with feel. You don't see him hitting a lot of batters. You don't see him spiking breaking balls. That's all about feel, you know. And you can have 90. You can get people out with 94, 95. But you better have the feel to be able to locate, and he just doesn't have that yet. It will come. It will come back along with, you know, 4 or 5 miles an hour more on the fastball. It's just going to take some time. And I heard Snit say the exact same thing that I'm saying now in postgame, and he's 100% right.
When you're in the middle of a 2-for-22 and you didn't have massive slumps or whatever it is, and then you're in the middle of a 9-for-21, are you talking to yourself very differently in terms of, you know, your respect to how you treat every at bat? Is there an up and down in terms of your psyche, or are you even keel on both ends of the spectrum?
Yeah, this is a huge swing game. This is a huge peaks and valleys game. You know, I think my worst slump was maybe a 0-for-24, maybe a 2-for-29, somewhere in there. And you feel like you're never going to get another hit ever. You're just completely lost. And then other times, you know, you're
dialed in.
You're doing 90 to the ballpark. You're running to the bat back. It doesn't matter who's on the mound. You know, I'm getting 2 or 3 hits. It's just, and that's why it's important to be as even keeled through all these processes as possible, because you'll drive yourself crazy riding a roller coaster if you don't, you know? So people get on to us about being even keeled and, you know, just, we see it as being a pro, but everybody else sees it as being dull and boring. But I mean, for me personally, if I ride those roller coasters with my attitude on my sleeve, I'm gonna drive myself nuts.
Chipper Jones with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going to All-Star games on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being I wish I was home with the family and had 4 days off. 10 being I love the whole experience. Where to go into All-Star games and not having an All-Star break rank for you?
There are extenuating circumstances to that. I think a 12, if the game is in your home ballpark.
Well, yes,
that's
ideal.
That is huge. If you know you end up the first half in Boston and the All-Star game is in San Diego, and you open up the second half in Philadelphia, you know, I'd probably put it on the, you know, the 2 or 3 range, especially if you're maybe a little banged up and could use the 3 or 4 days to kind of recharge your batteries. So a lot of extenuating circumstances. Once you get there and once you get in that clubhouse, there's nothing that beats it. You're with the elite in the game. You cherish the opportunity. But if, you know, if there's a lot of travel involved and you're a little banged up, it is a little difficult.
The 3 or 4 guys that you got friendly with because of All-Star games that were one of the cooler things to happen in your career, either American or nationally, guys you didn't know prior that you started to build up or were like, wow, I didn't know he was like this until I got around those games. Are there a few guys that jump out of you?
Yeah, I think, if I had to point to one, it would be probably Gary Sheffield. Maybe some of our interactions through a few All-Star games were one of the reasons he wanted to come to Atlanta and play. And Gary and I still remain really good friends. I can remember when we had the All-Star game here in Atlanta in 2000, I became really good friends. My two locker mates were Jim Edmonds, center fielder from the St. Louis Cardinals, and Daryl Kyle, who passed away a few years later. And I just remember some of the conversations that we had. And, you know, I mean, didn't particularly like the Cardinals. We had some, yep, some huge games with them in the postseason. And just getting to know them on a personal basis was a lot of fun. Learned a lot.
Anybody Hall of Fame weekends that are your, you know, top of the list that you get to, you've had the continued honor?
There's so many. I think sitting at that dinner table with Eddie Murray and Junior, Frank Thomas, Dave Winfield, Jim Tomey, Cal Ripken. I mean, that's those are good. All the guys at my table year after year.
Yep.
But the individual conversations with a Johnny Bench or a Reggie Jackson, those are, I won $20 off of Reggie Jackson in a golf game, and I won't tell you what he wrote on the $20 bill because it's not fit for radio or TV, but it's those kind of things that I'll cherish forever.
Would you put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame if it was your vote?
I knew that was coming.
Well,
yeah, it's really tough for me to say. I would have to talk to some of my brethren to
old-timers,
maybe see how they feel about it. I'm at the point right now where I'm holding out judgment until I speak to them, because it was the most sacred rule broken, and I'm not sure if we are ones to renege on the punishment that was handed down. I'm just not sure where I stand on that yet. So I'm gonna talk to some of the fellas this summer and maybe I'll have a better answer for you later on down the road.
All right. Appreciate it, Chipper, always, and look forward to seeing you during All-Star festivities as well. Thanks for coming on.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
All right. That's Chipper Jones on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hopefully always thoughtful and engaging and a true sports legend here in the ATL. So, I didn't talk cheeseburgers with him. I gave the guy a break. I'm not talking Rubens. I mean, we actually talk baseball. So Sandy would be proud of me, I hope. We'll come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us. G Money's here. Smoking Joe Patrick. My name is Steak. Thanks to Chipper Jones for joining us for almost 20 minutes, who is an extreme full and just interesting guy to talk to, who is just, he's a legend. He's what legends are. He's Matt Ryan. There's Chipper. There's Dominique. You know, they're few and far between in Atlanta. And I talk about confidence, right? You know, you watch the Braves, and I think that's the one thing, guys. There's nobody in the lineup that you just say he is going to work. He may not get out because the best hitters are out, as we said, 6.5, 7, almost 7 out of every 10 times. But how are you approaching the at-bat, right? I guess Marcell Ozuna leads the league in walks, right? probably the most, the guy, I don't know, right now in the room, it's second and third, two out, bottom of the eighth. Who do you want up if you're the Braves?
Ronald.
You want Ronald.
What about second, you? Well, second what about, and third, actually, no, I can't say that because we had that last night. Well, and they just intentionally walked
him. One night. They're walking him. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, and it's so, Ronald Acuña.
What about you?
Drake Baldwin.
Drake Baldwin's playing well. I'm going to say Ozuna. I just think the way he approaches big at-bats, I like the way he works pitchers. I love a guy that, you know, that you know is not going to – again, Mike, what's the one thing Chipper said? I don't think we're surprised who Chipper chose as the guy he's worried about most, but to actually say it, I said, of everybody in the lineup, he said Michael Harris. Just does not approach at bats well at all right now.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, I do think that Marcelo Ozuna, I was just throwing another name out there, and I wanted to give Baldwin some love. But Ozuna is really like what I think of like a professional hitter.
Yes.
Just a great
working.
Like,
he's working the count. He's working the pitcher. He wants to get something he can handle and drive the ball, or he's going to take his free pass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I see Michael Harris, and G said it earlier, throw stuff out of the strike zone. Throw some off-speed stuff in the dirt. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get Michael Harris out, and pretty much they've been finding ways to do it, especially in big situations.
Yeah, and I think that it goes to show, you know, Marcelo Ozuna has, you know, he's played for a while, and to Chipper's point, you know, I think when you're a veteran, you've been in baseball, you've experienced the ups and downs, especially earlier in a career, you get to the point where you just know what to expect of yourself. You know what to expect of your opponents. You have better approaches and preparation for everything. And that's what's allowed Ozuna to just really become a seemingly a better hitter every single year, it seems like, for the Braves.
Yeah. And he's just, I like what you said. He's a professional hitter, and that's what they need right now. Big matchup today because you're headed to the West Coast, Giants and Brewers. I mean, listen, obviously they both have better records. Everybody's got a better record than you. Arizona came in here laboring, and they've come in and won two. They thumped you on Monday. They win a pitcher's duel on Tuesday, and now you have the 12 o'clock start today. Grant Holmes going against Brandon – how do we pronounce it, Joe? Brandon Pfaadt, right?
Pfaadt,
is it?
I don't
– Whatever. You know the picture. Game one of the finals tonight. Does Indiana have any chance? That really is the question. Adam Silver doing the state of the state, I guess, yesterday to a degree, doing some interviews. Listen, this is not LeBron on the West Coast and, you know, Jalen Brunson on the East Coast or Jason Tatum. This is Oklahoma City and Indiana, so it is what it is. Here's Adam Silver comparing it to the Super Bowl.
We're going to have to go through a process of getting to the point where people are accustomed to tuning into the finals because it's the two teams that deserve to be right there, and it's the best basketball. Similar to, again, with the Super Bowl, if I asked somebody if they were going to watch the Super Bowl, they wouldn't say, who's playing? It's a national holiday. And now that's nirvana.
That's,
you know,
the goal.
I'm not saying we're anywhere close to that yet. There's still, if the Knicks are in the finals, there's a segment of our fan base that's going to watch that may not watch if it's other teams. But my job is to get people to love and follow this game. And so that if you're a huge basketball fan, you should want to tune into the finals because that's the best basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he's stating the obvious. You don't want to be driven by market size, and you don't want to be driven by just star power. But yes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could play the Buffalo Bills, and the Super Bowl's going to get hundreds of millions of people. It doesn't matter. He is right. Whereas a Celtics-Lakers will outdraw an Indiana-Oklahoma City by a ton. A Knick, I don't even know, Phoenix, right? Or Clippers, or Curry, and Golden State. So it is what it is. He did talk about the mess that is the All-Star game and trying to, every combination of, I don't know, we played a 21, we play second-year guys, we play guys with consonants in their last name, we play guys that were born South. I don't even know what the format is, but he has a new format ready.
Next year, as part of our new media deals, the All-Star game returns to NBC, where it was when we were younger. And it so happens that next season, we'll be smack in the middle of the Winter Olympics. So, in fact, the game will be on NBC, and the very day we're on, there'll be the lead-in will be Winter Olympic events, and then coming out of the All-Star Game, which is now going to be in the afternoon instead of the evening, there'll be more Olympic events. So what better time to feature some form of USA against the world? I'm not exactly sure what the format will be yet. I mean, obviously paid a lot of attention to what the NHL did. But also, you know, going back, you know, last summer, our Olympic competition was a huge success.
So I think he's essentially saying, what, gee, that's what they're going to, you know, the most likely way.
No, it's what the, I mean. It's what they're doing, and I think it's they're trying to do kind of what the NHL did with the Four Nations Classic, where it swept the nation. Everybody was fascinated with what was going on in that, and they're trying to tap into that potential a little bit.
I like the I mean, I wasn't trying to suggest that maybe they're doing. I said maybe what they're trying to do is again capture that notion of patriotism and, you know, for country. And also, listen, the European players are so freaking good, right? The international players have taken over basketball. So 20 years ago, you know, I guess it would be Bird, Magic, Michael, Scotty. I mean, to be all-American players, I don't know who the international guys would have been, right? Drazen Petrovic, rest in peace, guys like that. But no, now it's...
Vlade Divac.
Yeah. Yeah, Vlade, right? Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have been close. I would imagine international be favored now.
I was also thinking Arvydas Sabonis, which I've actually heard some players from that era say that he is the most talented player they've ever seen in their lives, Arvydas Sabonis.
In terms of size, ball skills, yeah. I mean, the European big men and American big men, it's like night and day in their ball skills and everything else. So, all right, what else are we supposed to do? We got to do some three strikes when we come back. We'll have some fun with that. I'll give you a pick for the finals. I know it's going to go down, so I'll give you that if you want it. Also, a couple other things that we touched on earlier. Why the brands of Georgia and the Braves are the most trusted. It's like Delta Airlines and Waffle House. You know what you're getting, and most of the time it's really damn good. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 1040 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro. G Money, Smoking Joe, hanging out for a couple hours here. Big game of the night. Let's go with game one of the NBA Finals after the Braves. The big game of the day is the Braves trying to get a dub. Go get a dub today. A little Bloody Mary special over there at the Battery, Truist Park. Braves and the final game of the series before the Braves head to the West Coast. But the big game! Pacers and Oklahoma City, which I believe will be one of the lowest rated, and I'm not here to tell you that it's going to be, we're going to surprise you. America's going to rally around SGA. The notion of what basketball means in Indiana is going to captivate the sports audience. That folks just want to see two really good teams with two fan bases that have never won an NBA title, and it's going to be compelling. No. It will be horribly rated in terms of what the NBA would have hoped for, but it is what it is. I'll watch.
Yeah, big thank you to John Foy for our big game of the night, and also big thank you to Wise Guys Pro Wash brought to you, or this hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
Get that pressure washing. Wise Guys. Pro Wash. It'll be a 4-2 series. Oklahoma City. Too much up front. Too many weapons and great defense and two legit big guys that are going to terrorize Indiana. A lot of really solid players on the Pacers, but not enough star power to be able to beat a team like Oklahoma City. And so that's just how it's going to be. Indiana will run out of gas. If they get two games, I think the spread on the series is you can get Oklahoma City -1.5 or you can get Pacers +1.5 in terms of games, right? So feels like most people would take Oklahoma City -1.5. They win 4-1, 4-2. Then you are a winner. The only way you don't win is if they lose the series or they win it 4-3. So that's one of the things that is floating around out there. We do have to start talking about the NBA draft at some point. The Hawks are the couple of number ones. That's coming down in a couple of weeks. feels more and more like there's not going to be a head of basketball ops at Ansi Sala and Quinn Snyder. It's like, okay, guys, like, it's time, right? Like, we're not, we got rid of some of the guys that we didn't think were doing much for us. We got some good things back in the trades for Dondre and Bogdanovich. We've got legitimate rising stars in Dyson. You know, I wouldn't say Reese is a rising star. I'd say he's solid, but he's not moving to be an all-star. Dyson Daniels and who am I thinking of? Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
He was a 2010 guy last year. That's what he was on pace to be.
Is that what his numbers were, though?
He was on pace to be something in that range.
Look exactly, though.
Because
he needs to be that. Like, he needs to be that. And if we're going to get excited about the Hawks, then that needs to happen. Let me give you our three strikes, and let's fill the phone lines with some new talent. Let's get some new talent up in here. So I couldn't read my writing yesterday. My bad. My bad, homie. Normal sleep hours, when to when. You know, you get on the Instagram, it's the 5 a.m. club. You got to get your cold plunge. You got to get your sauna. You got to do your journaling. You got to do your meditations. You got to be deliberate about all these things. And then there's the sleep, right? The most important element, live a longer life, all that. So what is a normal go to bed and wake up? What is your normal sleep hours? I'm curious how many guys are north of 7 hours. The one hitter you have rooted for in your lifetime that you trust more than any other, second and third, two outs, you need a base hit. The one hitter, not your favorite, not the best baseball player, has to be somebody you have rooted for that you would trust the most. I use the example of Wade Boggs, having rooted for him when I was, like, I guess, age 11 to 17 or so. If all you need is a base hit, maybe because a guy just you think is more clutch than somebody else. I mean, three-run homer is better than a single, so maybe it's a guy you trust to go yard. But the one hitter you have rooted for that you would trust the most with two outs and guys on second and third, and the most likely food item you'd purchase at a racetrack for a four-hour drive. Four-hour drive, you're walking into a racetrack, steaks buying, smoking Joe, you got a QT or racetrack, it's a four-hour drive. I don't want to know your beverage. I want to know the food item that you're coming back to the car with, most likely.
Well, it's sunflower seeds. Okay. That's like, it's a habit-forming addiction.
Right. And you're deep in it?
Not right now.
Good
but
for
a, yes, yes. And especially if I'm on a long road trip.
I was going to say
like
road trip.
Must.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost too healthy. So I'm gonna go with Ruffles sour cream and onion, right? I'm going to go with a solid Ruffles sour cream and onion and just hammer that thing, you know?
The thing I love about seeds is that they last a long time.
No, I know. That's
a
good. It's like if you get those really fancy seats at Truist, they give you the peanuts when you sit down. The thing I love about the peanuts at Braves games is they last,
exactly,
right? And there's a process. It's like eating crawfish in New Orleans. Like, there's a process. Like getting to the actual crawfish is, you know, it takes some effort. You look forward to it. Like, I gotta calm myself down or I'll suck down those sour cream and onions. Now I got 3 hours and 40 minutes and I feel bad about myself. I'll probably feel bad about myself anyway, but 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Normal sleep hours, when to when, most common. The one hitter, guys on second and third, two outs that you have rooted for. Don't tell me Tony Gwynn because you didn't root for the Padres. Don't pretend that you did. That wasn't you. And the most likely food item you're at a racetrack, four-hour drive ahead, 404-726-0929. It's depressing what's going on with the Braves. And I heard Mike Bell yesterday, and I don't think he was playing shock jock, and I don't think he was trying to be, you know, bombastic and say, let's go with this angle. I think he wants the manager removed. I don't necessarily agree with him. But, you know, Brian Snicker has had a tremendous tenure, and you won a world championship 3 years ago, 4 years ago, right, when you were 89 and 73. Then you had a 101 win season, 104 win season, and an 89 win season. That's after winning a World Series. So there is a lot of, you know, value, a lot of depth in that resume of how well Brian Snitker has done with massive injuries. Massive. I mean, like, your best player's been out twice now. You know, you had the starting pitching issues when you get late in the season, big time as well. Like, he has had every combination of, you know, lineups that he's had to figure out. I know you got hot with the Jock Peterson and Soler and company, you know, a few years ago, but everybody deserves credit. How he used them, that Alex Anthopoulos brought him in, how Snit figured out what was going to make sense. He pushed all the right buttons. Does this team need, like, you know, listen, I thought it was funny that there was a press conference call to really dive deep into our third base coach. Like, okay. Like, of all the things that have been on my mind about watching the Braves, yeah, maybe he wasn't doing a great job over there, but that was not where I was. I wasn't living in the notion that now we're going to turn things around. Listen, the spark that G-Money was talking about, we need a spark. How about we get a former MVP that is one of the most flamboyant players in baseball that can run and hit for average and hit home runs, put him at the top of the order? That sounds like a spark. Or how about get Spencer Strider back, a guy that could be absolutely dominant? You heard Chipper Jones talking about Spencer Strider. You can tell he is not comfortable. He's not comfortable talking about it. You can hear him, and he's not comfortable out there. Because last I saw, Chris Sale is nearly unhittable. Another ridiculously strong start last night. Spencer Schwarzenbach, you cannot pitch any better than he did on Saturday against the Red Sox. And if you get Strider going, then you'd imagine this is a team that can go on one of those runs. My God, the Twins won like 12 or 13 in a row this year, right? The Cubbies have had one of those runs. The Mets have had a couple of them. The Phillies, like, you know, all these teams have had, forget about 9 out of 11. They have had 7-game win streak, 9-game win streak. We hadn't even been close.
This team just needs to get to the dance, though, at the end of the day, because you're pitching, assuming, I mean, we're one injury away to our rotation, a guy in our rotation from absolute disaster, but assuming that they stay healthy until the postseason, this team is going to give you opportunities to win games. The bats just have to wake up sometime.
Yeah, there's nothing about watching them that suggests that we're in the postseason.
No.
And I'm not being doom and gloom. I'm just like, you know, we are one of the worst teams in the National League. Like, sometimes you have to look at, you know, what really are we offensively the last couple of years? What are we? So, yeah, there's not a lot of reason to believe. Because here's the other thing. The Giants weren't very good last year. They're really good. The Cardinals all of a sudden are really good. The Cubbies are ridiculous. Cubbies are like 16, 17 games over 500. Like, there's a whole other slew other than the Mets, Phillies, and Dodgers. You knew the Mets, Phillies, and Dodgers were going to be good. Like, that was a given. Now you got all these others that are inserting themselves. You knew the Padres were going to be good. You didn't think Dansby and the Cubbies would be going on a run like this either. All right, that's it. Let's go to three strikes. All right, full phone lines. We're excited. We got Lonnie. How you doing, Lonnie?
Hey, how you doing?
What's your average sleep from when to when?
From 11 to 5.
All right, only a six-hour guy. Why are you getting up at 5 a.m.?
Work. That'll work.
What do you do?
I travel. I go around and collect money out of coin machine, out of the laundry machine.
All right. The one hitter you've rooted for, you trust the most in a clutch situation?
David Justice.
Who'd you say?
David Justice.
Yeah. He's had his moments for us. Most likely food item you purchase at a racetrack, you got a four-hour drive.
Hot dogs.
Wow. Getting right on those. You know, the amount of condiments available now at a racetrack, they got relish, they got mustard, they got grilled onions, they got jalapeno. I mean, it is a hot dog bar.
That sounds like heartburn for me on a road trip.
Yeah. JP, normal sleep hours, when to when?
11 to 6.
All right, I like the 7. The one hitter you trust the most in a clutch situation. Need a hit.
Ichiro Suzuki.
You rooted for him, though? It's a guy you had to have rooted for.
I did root for him. All right. I thought he was a good guy.
That's right in the Gwynn, Wade Boggs category, no doubt, Suzuki. Most likely food item, four-hour drive ahead here at a racetrack.
Pepperoni pizza.
There you go. I can't tell you how much they want to compete in both those categories as like a lunch option. So to say pizza and hot dog is exactly what they're trying to do. Not that you guys care, but that's the whole strategy. We want to be a lunch option, not just steak with his potato chips. Come on, get some pizza. Hey, Chris, what's your normal sleep hours, brother?
Hey, steak, 11 p.m., 6 a.m.
All right, I think that's a nice one. 7 hours seems to be. Yeah. The one hitter, second and third, two outs, a guy you've rooted for, you trust the most.
I know you heard this a bunch. Playing shortstop, number two, Derek Cheetah.
And the most likely food item you're purchasing, a racetrack. Man. 4 hour
drive. Yeah, not all racetracks have them, but they're chicken tenders. There's three of them. Man, get that garlic sauce clutch.
Wow. I like the depth on that one. Thank you, buddy. Let's go, Brad. Hey, Brad, normal sleep hours, when to when?
10 to 6.
The one hitter, second and third, two outs that you've rooted for, you trust?
Best career average for the Atlanta Braves, Chipper Jones.
I like him or Gary Sheffield of all the Braves I rooted for. Nobody hit the ball harder than Gary Sheffield on a regular basis.
Agree.
Most likely food item purchased at a racetrack, 4 hour drive ahead.
I will go with, you know, something I can snack on throughout the drive, which is some beef jerky.
Oh, I like a beef jerky, bro. I like a beef jerky. Healthy-ish.
Thanks. Love the show, bro.
Thank you so much. All right, Timmy, you get the final word today. Normal sleep hours, what hours to when?
11 to 4:30.
Damn, bro. What's going on at 4:30? You going to work?
I'm semi-retired. I work 15 days a month, and on those 15 days, I work from 5 to 5.
The one hitter you trust that you've rooted for, second and third, two outs.
The God's honest truth, anybody other than Barrett Bonds, and I'm taking my shot with Barrett.
Most likely food item, you're at a racetrack with a 4 hour drive.
Sour Patch Kids.
Thank you, buddy. Well done today. Wise Guys, by the way, Pro Watch brought us the 10 o'clock hour. They're the best in the business, so check them out today. Thank you, G. Great to be with you again. Smoke and Joe, always a pleasure. Appreciate you guys helping out with Sandy Down. She's on the IR. And Rusty Manziel and Rusty Rocks, buy or sell, all that fun tomorrow. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye!
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.